Live from Sacramento, California.
Woke up quick at about noon.
Featuring Damian Barling.
Yes, I absolutely still love Russell Westbrook. So what?
And Kenny Caraway.
Sometimes you're really just vibing out.
This is D-Lo and KC.
I'm the street's voice out west. Legendary self-made progress. Last time that I checked.
On ESPN 1320.
Man, what a first week it has been here for us. We are so happy that you have made us a part of your Friday. I'm Damian Barling along with Kenny Caraway. We are D-Lo and KC, and the show is absolutely loaded today. We got Jason Jones, you know them vibes, coming up in about 20 minutes. Jason Jones, the beat writer, of course, and the esteemed co-host of One Kenny Caraway on the J Street Vibes. He's going to join us in 20 minutes. The Sacramento Kings get the 12th pick in last night's lottery. We'll talk to him. Coming up at 12:50, Matt Barnes, host of probably the best podcast to come out in years. All the Smoke. Also, I mean, there's so much here with Matt Barnes, NBA veteran. He's a multimedia personality, and perhaps above all else, he's a Sacramento native. He's going to join us at 12:50. And then for the first time all week, coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, for the first time all week, KC, we're going to open up the phone lines.
Wow. Hey, we're going to open up the phone. Let's go.
Jot the numbers down, 916-349-1320. Go ahead, write it down. Don't write it down. What am I talking about? If you're at the house, if you're at the office, program it in your phone, 916-349-1320. We're going to start taking calls here in the second hour of the show. Quite honestly, this first hour, it's just loaded. Again, Jason Jones, Matt Barnes joining us both here in this first hour. Lakers and Bucks both bounce back. We've got to talk about that. Dame Lillard's injured finger. How's that going to affect the series moving forward? Rockets go up 2-0 against a very game Oklahoma City team. But we will start with what we just said a minute ago. The Sacramento Kings grabbed the 12th spot in the lottery. The Warriors there at number two. So many Timberwolves, by the way, for those who are unaware, drafting number one again. Last time they did it was way, 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 way back in 2015. When they selected Karl Anthony Towns. But let's start with the Kings. There's a lot of questions here. Kings have had some lottery luck over the last few years. Not so much this time.
Not so much this time. I mean, the lottery is always, it's not fun necessarily to be in the lottery. Obviously, you'd rather be in the playoffs. But, you know, that 30 minutes is just tension filled. You know what I mean? And then when they start going down the list and you're like, we're supposed to be 12. Okay, they're on 13. Oh, snap. Maybe they won't have us at 12.
Yeah.
And then there you go. Kings get picked at 12. So, I 12 is an interesting spot.
You didn't think they were going to jump. You said that yesterday. You just no luck this time. It'll be 12, and we'll have to figure it out from there.
Yeah, and it's an interesting spot because I think a lot of people are down on this draft. And I kind of look at some of these guys where – there's not a lot, if any, franchise players in this draft. But I think there's some good role players in this draft, even down as low as 12. You know what I mean? And if you want to go back even further, 15 to 17. I think there's a good amount of role players in this draft and guys that can really help your team if you select them. But you gotta make sure you hit. And if you're the Sacramento Kings, you have to hit. You don't have to be a superstar, but it's got to be somebody that, I'll put it to you like this, Damian, can get to the second contract. All right?
Yeah. Oh, bruh. But how many guys have they drafted that have made it to the second contract, though? Harry Giles isn't going to make it to the second contract. I mean, at least not with the Sacramento Kings. Hell, Tyreke Evans won the Rookie of the Year. He was drafted what number overall? He didn't make it to a second contract.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is all fun to talk about players, role players, all those different things. KC, we've got bigger problems at hand as it pertains to the Sacramento Kings, and this is what we'll talk to Jason Jones about in about 15 minutes, is who's making the selection?
That is the million-dollar question that nobody has an answer to. That's a huge problem.
And it's the belief is Joe Dumars and Ken Cantinella are going to be in charge of the draft as well as free agency. But there are reports as to, you know, there's conflict. It's like everybody's being told something different. Like, you know, Kings insiders, they've all got their people that they talk to. And you've got to wonder, like, everybody seems to have a different line because there's differing messages all over the place. There's this this search is going to take a year, and they're not going to hire anybody for quite some time for the general manager position. And then there are other people who are like, no, I don't think that that's true. This search firm is working right now. They're going to put together a list of candidates, and Joe and Vlade, or Joe and Vivek are going to start the process. Hmm. Like, okay, well, the draft is October. We learned from Adam Silver yesterday, free agency was, we learned from the NBA Players Association that free agency was probably going to be pushed back till November. We learned from Adam Silver yesterday, he doesn't appear to be super confident in the December 1st start date, which that was a very tentative start date for the season all along. And last night was the first time I think Adam Silver kind of publicly was like, that feels a little bit early. We're not sure we're going to be able to pull that off. He also said, you know, our ultimate goal is to resume basketball next year with fans in the building.
Right.
Now, it's important to note, I think Adam Silver is fantastic. I'd argue he's the best commissioner in all of sports, but he's not in control of this COVID crisis.
It's true.
So while you and I would be loved to covering the Sacramento Kings from courtside next year, the fact is that's not up to us. That's not up to the Sacramento Kings, and it's not up to Adam Silver. Those are up to some significantly different forces. Point being, it appears we may be going your route here, Kenny. Next season actually does start next year,
right.
Somewhere in January, and so who's handling business till then? Because you talked about role players, okay. Well, Buddy's a role player, right?
Yeah.
Is he going to be on the roster around the draft time?
I don't
exactly.
think he should be.
If
I was the GM, I don't think he should be. But that's just me. Here's another thing, Damian. Here's another thing. And I kind of touched on it the other day. I don't think people was really feeling me. I don't think they was really hearing me. But I'm just going to reiterate this again. If Joe Dumars is interested in being a part of this franchise moving forward, Vivek better stop playing and like make some guarantees to him. Because I'm going to tell you like this. If I'm Joe Dumars and I want to be a part of this franchise and you're not giving me any indication that I'm going to be here when you make your final decision, what am I putting all these hours in for? What am I doing all this to build up this franchise just so you can pull the rug from me and talk about, oh, we're going to go in a different direction? No. I need to know that I'm going to, if you want me to do all this legwork for the draft and free agency, I need to know that I'm going to be around here. I think that's a serious thing.
Again, these are things that we'll talk about with Jason Jones when he joins us coming up at 12:20. Okay, what is Joe's long-term future? Like, what does Joe Dumars want? Long term, does he want to be the president? You know, I think it was, again, I'm losing track of all of these different articles. I think it was Sam Amick and Shams. I'm confident it was from The Athletic where they said, yeah, I don't. Joe Dumars doesn't want that position long term.
Yeah, I think he wants to be the. So now here's the conundrum. I think he does want to be that Pat Riley, Jerry West, Godfather like figure, right? And that puts you in a conundrum because. People keep saying any GM worth their salt is going to want to come in and have full control.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that you can, like I just said, I don't think you can not give Joe Dumars what he wants if you're asking him to head up your draft and your free agency. Yeah. If he wants to be the president of basketball operations or whatever, I think you almost have, because – you did all this without a plan to begin with. I think you have to give him what he wants. That may have you lose out on some candidates that you may be really interested in. And I think that's the move they got to go with. That's the way. Because, like I said, I can't see Joe Dumars if he wants that. And they're like, nah, I'm going to go with this search firm. And you may not be a part of it. Him being completely focused on what needs to be done with the Sacramento Kings with no guarantee.
So we're so used to dysfunction here, and that's not a word. I know people get uptight about that word. That's not a term I throw around loosely, but quite honestly, that's like, what else would you describe it as? Hmm. But what if there is a scenario where let's just find the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow right here and say Bobby Webster is coming in. To help with the Sacramento Kings, or you know, someone of that ilk. But let's use Webster as an example. And the plan is, allegedly, again, Jason Jones, 10 minutes, he'll have far more answers, better answers to some of these questions. It'll be Bobby Webster reports to Vivek Ranadive. Mm-hmm. Like, all right. But you build, you know, you build a front office staff. You build a staff that's good at scouting. You build a staff that with guys that got, you know, great relationships around the league. And then you've got, you know, Bobby Webster who you know, kind of oversees everything. Let's say that Joe sticks around and he stays in, you know, the president role, vice president role, the Pat Riley role, if you will. Couldn't he? Is it wrong to think maybe instead of having final decision making power, maybe he's the sounding board? Maybe we'll Bobby in and he says, okay, I know you think you're going, you know, you like this. Let me offer you my thoughts. Right. Let me offer you my opinion. And he's kind of the overseer. He doesn't have, you know, veto power. He doesn't have final say out, but he's kind of the overseer of the organization. Is that too far fetched? Because we know the buck stops with Pat Riley.
Right.
Right. We know that.
Right.
But how much influence does Eric Spoelstra have? How much influence does that entire front office staff have?
Right.
You know, we know those big names, R.C. Buford. We know those big, powerful names. There are guys there that have, look at Brent Berry's title. Doesn't Brent Berry and Joe Dumars, don't they have the same title?
As of right now, yeah, I think they do. I think
so. Does Brent Berry go to R.C. Buford? Brent Berry's been hired for a day and a half. Does mm-hmm. he go to R.C. Buford and go, nah, man, we ain't doing that?
Well, no, but
no.
Who's the R.C. Buford of the Sacramento Kings?
Well,
Joe Dumars don't have nobody where he's got to be like, okay, I got to respect what you got to say. He's trying to be R.C. Buford because there is no R.C. Buford.
And that's probably, and I guess that's the part where, you know, through the last week, I've been unable to rationalize. I don't know how you're in charge of hiring someone for a job that you want.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like if ESPN 1320 had come to us and said, okay, Damian, Kenny, check this out. We're going to hire a show here. Oh, fantastic. We got you. No, what we want you to do is we want you to be in charge of who we hire.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah. Okay. Well, that's a unique strategy. Like, yeah. You know, because we could do it.
Right.
Like, we got
everybody,
you.
Everybody that gets brought up, yeah, they're cool. You know, I like them. I mean, if you like that type of thing, here's what I, you know what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, it would be a bunch of that.
Right. And it's just, there's so many head scratching things that have gone on with the Sacramento Kings organization this week. Hopefully we'll be able to get some answers when Jason Jones joins us here coming up in about 7 minutes. Casey, we're just getting started, man. We have got so
big
much
show,
to talk about.
Big show.
In addition to Jason Jones, in addition to Matt Barnes, we're going to be taking your phone calls in the 1 o'clock hour. We've also got to talk about the Lakers, their bounce back. You happy with Anthony Davis today?
I am. He was not afraid of them lights last night.
Do you want to talk about greatest eight seed of all time, or can we table that for another?
I mean, we can talk about it. Can you refresh my memory? Did I say they were going to sweep the Lakers?
Okay. So you got a finger on the pulse of the Portland Trailblazers. That's cool. We'll talk about that.
Yes.
You want to chime in here on the conversation at D'Lo and KC? It's a great spot on Twitter and Instagram as well at ESPN 1320 Works. We'll be back. Jason Jones of The Athletic joins us here on Sacramento One Sports Station, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC continues on ESPN 1320.
Indeed it does, and we're so happy that you are here with us at D'Lo and KC on Twitter and Instagram at ESPN 1320, same social media platforms. We hope you give us a follow. By the way, particularly over there at D'Lo and KC on Instagram, we'll do IG live shows every once in a while just for fun. We did one last night following the lottery as we were drinking our frustrations or sorrows or just contemplating the future. You can work a whole lot of things out. Over, I had Terramana. What did you have? Cuervo?
Some
what did
Cuervo.
You have?
Yeah, some Cuervo. Shout out to
them. There you go. You can work out a lot of issues when you've got those readily handily. And since we're both doing IG Live from the house, man, it makes things quite easy. What do you think of Cornrow Steph?
I don't like
that.
It.
That was
he's
no.
Got a big, he's got a big head. It don't look right.
Candace Buckner of the Washington Post tweeted that he looks like the love interest of the older lady that she found at the end of the Tyler Perry movie.
Like, and then all of the Moore, res- the wig cornrows. That was awesome.
Oh, that was bad. Oh, that was so bad. Was it? Was
the
Tay
lace
Diggs
front cornrows?
Was young Tay Diggs Stella's?
That was
Was that a young Tay Diggs?
Yeah, that was Tay Diggs. I think that was like what put him on his role in
Stella.
Yeah,
I think so
when
too.
He was a Jamaican, and I guess that accent was not very accurate.
Well, it's like Kofi Kingston. Kofi Kingston started. He was Jamaican, and then just one day he wasn't. Let's bring in Jason Jones. You know them vibes, Jason Jones calls vibes, and these.
Jay Jones, Jason, was good.
What'd you think of cornrow Steph?
I thought it was hilarious. I was like, I know those braids hurt because his hair wasn't that long. I was like, oh, God, he's pulling his skin unmercifully. It's horrible right now.
Looked like he got a facelift because they had to pull him so hard. We haven't seen him in a while. He could have been growing it out.
Yeah, I guess so. But still, it's like, come on, man. What's going on? It's like, I did not know what to make of it. I was like, his forehead must be on fire.
If Aisha doesn't record, it's Aisha, right? Aisha Curry. Yeah. If she's not IG and live the day those cornrows come out, this whole thing has been a failure. I need to see.
Exactly.
I need to see.
That's the content we all need.
Oh, she was on. She had them on her stories. I seen it. She loved it.
Oh
too.
Yeah.
She, like, put the hearts and all that other stuff. Yeah.
I think that was the debut of cornrow Steph. We've got so many questions, Jason Jones. None of them actually apply to cornrows or Steph Curry. They apply to the Sacramento Kings, and with them drafting here at 12, we can get to what they could potentially, you know, do with that pick. But what is Joe Dumars' long term future with this team?
It depends on the day of the week. This time a week ago, it's that, you know, it was like he's going to be like Jerry West Godfather and set everything in order, you know, and, you know, lead the search to get the GM, and he's going to be, you know, the guy who set the table. Now it's like, well, he's here, but whoever gets hired will be, you know, we're going to use a firm, and that person will report to Vivek. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on anymore. I really don't. I would love to pretend like I understand, but I've covered this team long enough to know that if it doesn't make sense, there's a good reason why it doesn't, because that's the way things seem to go.
Jason, I mentioned earlier in the show, when you talk about Joe Dumars, you know, making the decision possibly or whatever the case may be, don't you think that if he has an interest in the job and you're asking him to do this interim thing and run the draft and possibly run free agency and all this other stuff, don't you think that you've got to kind of make some kind of guarantee or promise to him, even if it's under the table, to get him to, not saying that Joe Dumars is some shiesty guy, but if you want the best job out of Joe Dumars, don't you have to say, hey, we'll take care of you if you do a good job with this whole thing?
I would think so. I mean, like, I don't know what's stopping Joe if they don't, to be like, you know what, look how far we've gotten. I don't want to do this anymore. You know, or he's doing a lot of work and then they bring in someone to be a general manager who does not mesh with him at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just so many possibilities. And I know part of me says, well, that would make no sense. Why would you do that before the draft, whatever? But the team did years ago let their GM, Pete DeLisandro, walk. No, less than 2 weeks before the draft, and let Vlade run the draft with, you know, essentially 3 months on the job. So it's kind of hard to say what would or wouldn't make sense, you know, because what you think would make sense probably is not going to happen. So it's just, wow. I mean, it's just weird. It's just weird because, you know, I don't see the need to come out and say, well, the GM report to Vivek. I mean, doesn't everyone eventually report to Vivek? You know, so it's just like, was that done just trying to, like, chop down Joe Dumars? I mean, there's a lot to not understand right now about what they're doing. And if you're going to go this route, you know, like I said, a week ago, it sounded like they had a plan. Okay, if we want to go this way. If Vlade doesn't want to go with it, we'll go this way. Now it sounds like we're going to go this way, but maybe we won't go this way. Or we're going to go this way with a caveat or two. It's just not the way to, you know, run the organization. And I think we'll be back pretty soon. I mean, if we had in-person workouts, it would be like it was a few years ago where they can't get anyone to work out for them and nobody wants to bring their players to Sacramento.
Mm. Wow. Do you have any idea the time frame in all of this, Jason?
Nothing definitive. I've heard, from basically they want to take their time, and do the exhaustive search. But even with that, the Kings' versions of exhaustive searches are have kind of varied. You had, like, when they were hired with Freddie Hire, Dave Yeager, where they seemingly interviewed every coach in America. Yeah. To the next coach you hire, you interview one person. Or GM job, you talk to a few people. And then Vlade gets the job essentially just by showing up. So, I mean, there's so many – it's hard to kind of gauge what they want to do. And logic would tell you if you were going to make a move with your front office, you would have made a move a few months ago like Detroit did or Chicago and give that person a bit of time to get ready for all this stuff. And they didn't do that. So it's kind of hard to figure out what they're going to do because you got a couple of months before the draft, but they also don't want to rush.
Right.
So, yeah, this thing is just confusing.
Well, Jason, let's assume, and this is a huge assumption, that people get on the same page before the draft. I guess it wouldn't matter if they're on the same page or not because the draft is going to be there. But I'm just saying, the Kings have the 12th pick in the draft. Where do you think they need to go with that pick? Is it a wing? Is it a big? Is it best player available? Where do you think they need to go with that 12th pick?
I mean, if all things were equal with them, I'd go with a big wing, a guy who could play 3-4 or 2-3. It's just a guy with some good size because, to me, they're still too small on the wings. And also in the front court, outside of Harrison Barnes, you don't really have a good guy who can go 3 and play 3 and 4.
Right.
So that's where I would look. But when you're picking 12, I don't think you can wait around and say, well, this guy fits our needs better than that guy. If there's a guy who maybe falls to you, who just happens to play the best player available. I mean, even if that means, as crazy as it sounds, even if it means taking a point guard, you take the best guy because maybe he becomes a trade asset.
Wow.
And then you can get, you got to pick the best guy. I don't believe that, especially in the lottery of the draft, you take a guy just because, we have a need. And we've seen what happens in the Kings draft for need high in a draft.
Right.
It doesn't work out. You just got to pick the best guy available, I think, in their spot because they're not one guy away or one position away. They need probably another 3-4 guys, some experience. They need a lot. So I think you grab the best player available. I think the kid from Vanderbilt, Nesmith, would look good. Either one of the young guys from Florida State would work, but it's so early, you have no idea who's going to fall, and maybe some guy comes up and flies up the draft chart and surprises them. So I just think, ideally, it's a guy who can play both 4 spots or play 2-3, but end of the day, take the player and see what happens.
All right, so I'm going to throw some more confusion into this. First, I encourage everybody to get their subscription to The Athletic. It's well worth it. And then search Be Heard in your favorite podcast platform so you can check out the latest episode of J Street Vibes with Kenny Caraway and Jason Jones, who joins us now on D'Lo and KC. You talked about, drafting for needs, drafting for best player, all of these different things. Is it far-fetched thing? Like, we don't even know who's going to be on the roster. We don't even know what the general manager is going to desire this roster to look like. I keep going back to the fact that there are so many other unanswered questions. Drafting at 12 or who they draft or the direction that they go in their draft is probably at the bottom of that list.
Yeah. No, yeah, because, say Joe Dumars drafts and move forward, and you hire a GM a month later who hates the guy Joe drafted.
Yeah, right.
And he hates the entire roster anyway. We don't even know how Joe feels about this roster. That's why it's crazy that we can talk about the draft so much, but what if Joe Dumars or the unknown general manager comes in and says, I really love Buddy Hield. I'm going to start Buddy Hield. I want to do a sign and trade with Bogdanovich. That changes a lot. What if you get a guy who comes in and just says out of the blue, I don't like Marvin Bagley at all. I want to play small. You know, then that's a different discussion. I mean, really, everything's on the table. When I look at this team, outside of De'Aaron, I don't see anyone where you would say, I definitely wouldn't think about moving at this point.
Yeah.
But then again, somebody might come in and not like De'Aaron. We don't know.
And Kenny's all about moving Buddy Hield. If Kenny could have moved Buddy Hield yesterday, he would have.
Me the GM. We making moves. We making moves. I don't need a couple months. We making moves. He's got to go.
But you know what happens when you don't know situations. Buddy Hield's agent makes the deal, which is not going to, you know, ends up being that Buddy Hield's agent goes to Vivek and goes, hey, I've created this deal. And that deal, this is just, yeah. I mean, this is just so, you know, I hope we all enjoyed our quasi year or so of 2018, 19 of somewhat normalcy, because this is back to what we're used to.
Do you have any idea, Jason, how the players feel about all of this?
No, I mean, I've only talked to Harrison since everything happened, and he just kind of said, hey, you know, when you don't win, changes are going to happen. And he was just like, we just did not show up. We didn't play well. So he said, you know, changes are bound to happen when you don't win or you don't accomplish your goal. But, you know, if it's anything like all the players I've known for over a decade have said, they're just kind of like, you know what, we come to expect things like this to happen. And then you just kind of say, you know what, you know, maybe when I get out of here, I'll see what an organization is run like differently and go, wow, this is amazing. And almost everyone I've talked to who's ever left has been like, man, I had no idea it was like this in other places. I thought that every NBA team was like this.
Oh, and, what know, a ringing endorsement.
And to me, it's sad because the Kings do so many other things so well. It's just the thing on the signature thing they can't get right. You know, everything. You know, they do so many things well, but you know, just trying to get something on the court that's going to, you know, be sustainable, they just can't figure that out. And this is not, you know, this is not a recipe to fixing that at all. This is just going to make it worse.
There's a negative connotation to J Street Vibes right now, man. I tell you that. nothing good coming out of those offices there at the Golden One Center.
Hey, we already had the saddest podcast ever a couple of weeks ago. They had the crown in my hand. Yeah, I had to take a couple of sips to get through, but I was like, man, this is just sad. This is the saddest thing I've seen in quite some time.
Those make the best podcast, man. Nothing wrong with that. We've learned that with IG Live last night. Jason Jones, The Athletic, J Street Vibes. We appreciate you, my brother. Thank you.
No problem. Anytime, guys. Take care.
All right
now. That's our guy, Jason Jones. Get your subscription to The Athletic. Well worth it. And, of course, search Be Heard in your favorite podcast platform. Get the J Street Vibes podcast there with Kenny Caraway and Jason Jones and the rest of the fantastic local podcast, including Deuce and Moe, The Dope Ones. And we're going to be introducing some new podcasts there on our Be Heard platform. Well, I don't feel any better. So what do you want to do now? I jotted a couple of notes down. What's Joe's long-term future? It depends on the day of the week.
Yeah.
Kenny.
Yeah, that sounds about right, too.
Have you ever thought about what it would be like to cover a normal basketball team?
Have you ever thought about what
an adrenaline rush it would be to be able to talk about wins and losses and strategies and to be able to talk about imagine being in the position the Golden State Warriors are in right now.
Oh,
like,
man.
what are we going to do with this pick? Are we going to draft number two? Is it Wiseman? Is it Ball? Is Anthony Edwards there? Are we going to do something? Or are we going to go the old, you know, we really love James Wiseman. I mean, we love him. And you start selling. You do it like the NFL does. You start selling hard to every other team out there. And then all of a sudden.
That's what John Lynch did to the Bears.
Right? Oh, man, I really like this Mitchell Trubisky kid. We're definitely going with him here. Can we get John Lynch?
The Warriors have options. The Kings have questions. That's the difference.
There are a lot more differences.
Questions. What did Melvin say in Baby Boy? Guns and butter. Guns and butter. All right? In the NBA, it's options and questions. And I don't cook my breakfast like Melvin.
Okay, I was good. That was the next question. I was gonna ask.
I don't
drink
my Kool-Aid or cook my breakfast like Melvin. Don't worry.
Is Snoop in that movie or did he just do the record?
Oh yeah, Rodney.
Yeah. He's in it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Tyrese. That's when we thought Tyrese could act. I think Tyrese is funny in the Fast and the Furious movies.
He is
only because The Rock like clowns him everybody clowns him.
Yeah, the behind the scenes beef though just went. That was when The Rock had the tweets for Tyrese. I mean, that was some good stuff.
Oh, the tweets were nothing. When he did the video Tyrese's new album, and we can't even paraphrase what The Rock said.
Oh, that was an all timer.
The Rock tweeted this morning the XFL deal is finished. So The Rock and Danny Garcia and their little group there they're the official owners now of the XFL.
Well,
what a flex on his old boss, by the way.
Congratulations to him. Hey, speaking of his old boss,
Vince McMahon.
Somebody said you have a Vince McMahon impression. I'd love to hear it.
Oh no, damn it, pal! It's kind of a universal sound. Like I use the Vince McMahon voice, and somehow the Vince McMahon voice has doubled as the Jerry Jones. Someone once said to me that my Vince McMahon voice like doubles as the old white male voice, because anytime I talk about Jerry Jones, somehow I just start talking like this, and you've got to lead the team, and you got to be a leader. Like Jerry Jones doesn't talk like that. Vince McMahon talks like that, and really, it's more of an impersonation of Bruce Pritchard doing an impersonation of Vince McMahon.
It was pretty good. Now, Vince McMahon, if he was the GM of the Sacramento Kings, he'd get Buddy Hield up out here just like me. I'm going to tell you that right now. And I was listening to something last night. My prayers may be answered. And you know what? I kind of hesitate doing this because it has a negative connotation. I want to reiterate, I don't hate Buddy Hield. I don't think he's a bad player or nothing like that. I don't feel that way about him. I just think this is one of the quickest, better ways for them to improve that roster and improve their cap situation. So he's got to go.
I feel like I know what you're about to lead into. So I'm just going to sip my water and let you tell everybody what podcast you were listening to and how they validated all of your concerns about all of these trades that should be made around the league. And
I'm not going to get into at least four people saying that Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid should be split up. I'm not going to get into that. If you're listening, I'm not getting into that. You know what I'm saying? But it's out there. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely out there. NBA execs as well is out there. But we ain't getting into that. But they did mention another one with the Sacramento Kings. And this, to me, is like Christmas in October. They were all on board for the Atlanta Hawks trading the number four pick, not even a pick swap, but just trading the number four pick to the Sacramento Kings for Buddy Hield. Where do I sign up? Sign up?
First of all, can
Vivek send me to a 10-day GM contract so I can make this deal?
Stop this immediately. One, Marshall Harris is listening. Two, stop it.
Alone, Marshall.
Stop quoting stuff. Stop quoting stuff from Bill Simmons' Trade Machine podcast.
Rajah Bell was on there too. I respect Rajah.
I don't care. Oh, I'm sorry. Rajah Bell is the definitive voice in what should be happening in the NBA.
I respect him as an analyst. I like what he's got to say. We're on the same page.
Of course you like what he has to say because he's saying the same nonsense that you are.
Like he knows what he's talking about.
Just because y'all both are saying the same thing doesn't mean that you're both right. It means y'all both thinking the same way.
So Damon, you're telling me if Atlanta said, we really want Buddy Hield, here's the four. Not even switch the four and the 12.
Who are you taking at four? Who at four are you so gung-ho about?
Obi Toppin, Denny. There's two guys right there that you could take. No. Obi Toppin and Denny.
I would rather
to go along with your 12.
Run the conversation about Ben Simmons back, because I'll just replace Ben Simmons' name with Buddy Hield and say this. I would rather replace the coach who I believe Buddy, if you trade Buddy this year to a competent coach and to a competent coaching staff, you're going to see him go for 27 a night. You're going to see him be a 27 point per game night role player.
Buddy Hield is going to score in his sleep. I don't think that's the issue. He can't play for Spoelstra. Even Duncan Robinson slides his feet and plays defense. You got to defend. All right, and he don't defend. What did he say when people asked him about defense?
Let's try this. And you know what? He was wrong for saying that. Go ahead, finish the line. What did he say?
ain't nobody else playing defense.
What? He's not wrong. No one on Sacramento plays defense. Like, hey, I'm a buddy. Like, I'm not a fan either. Like, I have my issues with Buddy in terms of the way that he plays, and I think he makes a lot of mistakes that wind up costing the team. I think he can shoot you in the game. I think he can shoot you out of the game, but I think he can make enough defensive mistakes where you got to be careful where you use him. But the issue is, it's not like Luke Walton or Dave Yeager were screaming, hey, it's not like there were five elite defenders or four elite defenders out there on the floor, and then there's Buddy out there going, which way do I go? Which way do I go? There were five bad defenders in Sacramento Kings jerseys out there. So how do we continuously just put this on Buddy as if the Kings are some juggernaut on the defensive end?
And they're not. And that gets to the original point of trying to trade Buddy Hield. It's not all his fault, but somebody's got to go. You can't bring this roster back and expect something different next year. And when I look at the contract and when I look at what you could possibly get back, yeah, I would love to trade Corey Joseph. You're not getting anything back for Corey Joseph, right? So it don't matter. You got to get off the contract for Buddy Hield, and you get something in return for him as well. That's
Buddy
why
is
he's
the most
the candidate.
Movable piece.
Yes, that's why he's the candidate. And I agree with you. He could go somewhere. Like, he could go to Atlanta, him and Trae Young. They would be this great little Strasburg thing.
No.
He'd score 25 points a game, whatever the case may be. I'm not
Atlanta
even saying Buddy's
matter.
A bad player, but it don't fit for what they're trying to do here.
I think Buddy can
be trying to do here.
I think Buddy can be the same type of scorer and a better basketball player on a better coach team. There and to be, I'm talking about and maybe you could say this about any basketball player. Maybe what I'm saying is completely unfair, but I'm talking about putting him with an elite coach that I think he'll learn from. I'm talking about the Spolstras and the Nick Nurses or the Coach Buds or the Greg Popoviches or you know the anybody virtually on the San Antonio Spurs staff. I'm talking about those type of coaches who are going to be able to accentuate the positives and try to hide the negatives. I think Buddy on the offensive end is a massive positive that you can accentuate if you have him doing the right things. Stop allowing him to think that he is a playmaker. Stop allowing him to believe that he is James Harden or he is Kobe Bryant or he is any other player that he's ever idolized in this league and set him up as one of, if not the most, deadly three-point shooter in the league.
And Dame, not to cape for Luke Walton, but I'm gonna bring it back up. When Luke Walton put him in the position that he ultimately should be in, Buddy Hield is a six-man guy, in my opinion.
Fine.
When he put him in that spot, Buddy was killing off the bench. He was just doing it with a frown on his face, but he was killing. He was shooting the lights out. He was averaging 19 points a game, things of that nature. So you had a coach who was doing that. And then the pandemic hit. That's really what happened. The pandemic hit. Luke had unlocked the Buddy Hield that we want to see. And then everything stopped.
It's not wrong. Like, I'm not going to argue that point. But
even with that said, though, you got to trade him. And I would trade him for the number four pick in a heartbeat.
Unlike Ben Simmons, I understand why you feel that way. Because, De'Aaron, you don't trade. Mm-hmm. Bagley, I don't even know. I don't think you can't give up on him yet.
Nice.
And after that, there's nothing that you have signed to a contract that is movable, I think, besides Buddy.
I'll even say this, Damian. If it's the contract is a big reason why. If Buddy was on a better team-friendly contract, I probably wouldn't even think twice about this. But what's he getting, 20 what million next year?
A lot. 20 a lot. He's getting 20 a lot million. That's what it is.
I'm okay. If I can
at
move
D-Lo
that,
and
I'm
KC on Twitter, I see these tweets rolling in. Jill Adge, I see you. She says, between Mr. Jones today and Marshall Harris yesterday, D-Lo and KC is fire right now. Nobody
What's up, Jill?
Is holding back. And it is honestly very refreshing, no matter how hard it might be for Kings fans to hear. Great stuff from Jill. We appreciate you. And you can connect with us again at D-Lo and KC on Twitter and Instagram. We'll be back, man. We are just getting started. Matt Barnes joins us next here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
Now, back to D-Lo and KC. D-Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
That's going to be a heavily quoted conversation that we just had with Jason Jones. If you missed it, all you got to do is download the radio.com app. You can use the rewind feature. Just download radio.com from your app store. It doesn't matter if it's iPhone or Android. Register. It takes 2 seconds. You can use your Facebook address or you can use the email address. It is completely free. Search ESPN 1320. hit the heart button and you can use the rewind feature. Our conversation with Jason Jones started at 12:20. It's that easy. You can scroll back to the exact time of the show. That's what time we started talking to Jason at 12:20. And Kings fans, if you missed it, you're going to want to hear it. That's why you're seeing so many fans all over social media quote it right now. Matt Barnes set to join us here in just a couple of minutes. Lakers, even the series, we're going to have to spend some time here in this segment talking about that. And let's start here. Are you feel better about Anthony Davis? You more comfortable with what you saw after yesterday's game? Those dunks, getting those paints in the point? Those points in the paint?
In the first half, he had 21 points. 16 of those joints was in the paint. He looked like I said earlier, he was ready for them lights. All right, he was ready for them last night. Played well, played with a sense of aggression, right? Like he looked upset about what happened in game one and came out and looked like he wanted to change that off the rip. So yeah, Anthony Davis showed up and showed out last night.
The Lakers, so the story coming into the game was Dame Lillard. The story coming out of the game is Dame Lillard as well. He dislocated his finger. The game was, I think it was a 30-point game when he dislocated his finger. He was still in there. He was still playing.
Bad job by Terry Stotts.
That's Dame Lillard's style, though. It's hard to be mad at him. That's what he won. I'm sure he was out there trying to play. It's already been said today he's going to play in tomorrow's game. But there's a big issue. They didn't lose the game because Dame Lillard didn't finish. Right. Like he was, you know, they were down, as we just noted, by 30. But Frank Vogel, who you know we often we regularly dismiss. LeBron James coaches. Frank Vogel is a defensive-minded coach, and they shift strategies last night with Dame Lillard. They sent double teams to Dame 16 times. The Trailblazers shot 2 of 13 on those plays, including 0 of 7 from 3. Dame Lillard himself, he shot 1 of 6 on those plays and 0 of 3 on three-pointers. So they made a defensive adjustment. LeBron James, on occasion, has used the term game one is a feeling out period. And I tried to bring this to your attention. I'd say LeBron James does not lose in the first round. He does not lose in the first round. They come back. And I feel like the conversation has changed now. The conversation has completely changed. It's no longer the focus is no longer on Dame Lillard. It's on Dame Lillard's finger. There's going to be some focus on Dame Lillard's shooting ability moving forward. And if he has a rough game three shooting, well, I think a lot of people are going to be willing to write the Portland Trailblazers off if he's not able to recover from that. But I think the focus is now is the adjustments that the Lakers made, the emergence of a more dominant presence by Anthony Davis. And, I mean, LeBron had – what did LeBron have? Like, 10?
I think like 10
He had like 10 points. His lowest in a playoff win. I mean, I if I'm a Laker fan or I'm a gambler, I'm feeling pretty good about the Lakers right now.
I mean, Damian, you can just tell me, was it not hard anymore without fans? Like, did that just out of nowhere? It's not hard no more without fans. Like, it's not an issue anymore, huh? It was an issue two days ago, but it wasn't it today.
Well, he was talking about the autobiography of Malcolm X, which that's going to come back later. Let's bring in the host of All the Smoke podcast, Sacramento native Matt Barnes. Matt, there's so much to talk to you about, man. We appreciate you joining us. How do you think I think one of your greatest attributes is the activist work you do, not just here in Sacramento, but around the country. How do you feel about how the NBA is representing social issues during this restart?
I love it. I think that was probably the second most important knock on against the season restarting was we were going to lose focus of the political climate and social climate of this country. But I think the NBA has done a great job at continuing to push their story, their narrative. The players have done a great job on speaking on whatever they feel is important. And it's aligning with what we feel is important. So I always said, although LeBron is a superstar and has millions of followers, I think his voice is amplified and stronger when it's coming from that NBA platform. So you continue to add all those other guys in the situation. I think the NBA is doing a great job.
Matt, how you doing, man? Del Campo, stand up, man.
How you guys doing?
Good, man. Good. I wanted to ask you about the NBA playoffs right now and what's going on with the NBA playoffs. One of the things that's really jumped out to me, I know people are talking about Dallas, and they're giving the Clippers a run for their money, and the Lakers look like they might be back on track. But one of the big surprises to me, because I had written them off, is the way Houston has against OKC in two games. It's been extremely impressive. It looks like they're playing defense now. I mean, do you think that Houston is a team that can, in this bubble format, can, like, get on a hot streak and maybe take it to the finals or something like that?
Absolutely. Anything is possible. I think this is the one weird situation where you kind of kick records and seeding out the window. To me, it's about who's the hottest team at the hottest time. Obviously, Portland was hot and got themselves in the playoffs. Toronto was hot ending the season. There's a handful of teams that were hot. And I think, quite frankly, that Houston's kind of tired of hearing that their style and their method can't, you know, doesn't work. You know, and I was one of the people that didn't think I liked the small ball idea, but I didn't think it would win a championship. I'm still not sold if it can, but I guarantee it can definitely scare, you know, these teams in the West the way they're playing right now. And you got to think Russ is coming back within the next week or two, too. So right now it's just about getting hot in chemistry, and they're one of the top teams with it.
Yeah. Are there two teams that you really like in this restart to be in the finals?
I think the East is more of a toss-up than people think. I think people were giving Milwaukee that clear path with no resistance, and I don't think that's definitely going to be the case. I see, you know, if they're able to go to the next round, Miami is a very hungry, scrappy team that matches up very well outside of, obviously, Giannis, but they match up very well with everyone else. And really the recipe for Milwaukee is just stop everyone else. So with that said, I'm still really intrigued with the Lakers and Clippers. I still think, with all due respect to the Eastern Conference, the championship is going to come back to LA. And someone from the very beginning of the season had picked the Clippers. I think the Clippers road is probably going to be uglier than a traditional championship run, because they really haven't had a consistent lineup with all their key guys, you know, throughout the season. So they're still really getting a chance to gel and figure each other out. But I still think, with the talent, depth, and the coaching, they're my favorites.
Kid, and I'm big on the Clippers too. But I'm kidding. As a player, Matt, like, have you ever had it? Like, because you brought up the Clippers being, you know, without their lineup for so long. Like, how difficult is that for you? Like, how difficult is that when you're a player, where you're constantly trying to readjust to someone new coming into the lineup?
It just depends. You know, a lot of it depends also on off the court chemistry. You know, hanging out and they're getting a chance to see each other every day. There's no outside distractions, so I think you can definitely cut a little bit of that chemistry, because to me, chemistry is also built, you know, in brotherhood and hanging out and having dinner and playing cards and having a drink. So it's difficult from a standpoint if you have a young team, but this is a pretty veteran-driven team and a championship coach. So I definitely think all those play into the factor of hopefully making it happen sooner than later. But I still feel the Clippers haven't been hitting on all strides, and to me, I think that's scary.
Matt, we got to bring it back to the hometown. We're here in Sacramento. I got to ask you about the Sacramento Kings. You've walked those hallways at the Golden 1 Center. You've been involved with everybody in that building. And I got to ask you, because I know you're going to keep it a stack. What, in your opinion, is going on in Sacramento, and how can it be fixed?
It's you know, everything starts at the top. And, you know, with Vivek being a hungry, involved owner, and trickles down to management, trickles down to general management, and then coaches. So that's kind of been the recipe for teams who won. Sacramento has had a hard time, to me, since, you know, kind of the loss of Jeff Petrie, as far as having a general manager that can really put a team together. So they got some good young talent. It's obviously not enough yet to compete in the West. But I just think they got to figure out if I'm hearing Joe Dumars is in the running for a GM position, and I think he did a fairly good job in Detroit. If that's the case, Sacramento's in a tough position, because it'll never be a free agent destination. And that's how a lot of these teams win, is, you know, outside of Golden State, who drafted very well and was fortunate enough to get Kevin Durant through free agency, Sacramento never had that luxury. So they have to be really strategic on who they give these long-term deals to, who they can draft and who they can possibly trade for, because unfortunately, Sacramento is not a free agent destination, like I said earlier.
Matt, can you still hit a corner jump shot? Can you still defend? They need some of that Matt Barnes toughness, man. Come on, man. Come on back home, baby.
I might be able to coach it. I definitely can't do it no more.
I want to draw attention, if you don't mind, to something. You've been in D.C., and you were doing something you posted on Instagram yesterday. Don't shoot guns, shoot cameras. Can you – I read the description of it, and I was fascinated by it. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I teamed up with my brother, Red Grant, who's a comedian from out there, and then the Hustlers Guild, who is friends. They all grew up together with Red. And I just thought it was an amazing opportunity to teach at-risk youth who wouldn't normally have a chance to learn about film and television, just the behind the scenes. You know, now more than ever, you're starting to see people who look like us behind the camera, as well as just in front of the camera or on the field, so to speak. So it was just an opportunity where we took about 12 at-risk DC youth and just taught them the whole game, from character development to script writing to scouting out locations to the camera work, the sound work, the acting work. They did everything from A to Z. We created a short 30-minute movie. And like I said, kids would never even think to have the opportunity to pick up a camera or think about writing a script. The looks on their faces, how thankful they were. It was really one of the most gratifying experiences I've had in my life. So I was actually out there to obviously support, find out exactly what it is, and get funding for it so I could bring it back to California.
Wow. Well, man, applause for that, man. We're thrilled to hear that. Is it just exposure to these types of things? Because we,